The General Services Administration launches the first ever public participation playbook. GSA says it'll help federal agencies meet open government priority goals. Justin Herman is SocialGov lead and manager of the Public Participation Playbook Project at the General Services Administration and here to explain how it works. Justin, I can't wait to talk about the playbook, but I have to have you explain to me something that you tweeted about this conversation today. And by the way, thank you for plugging that you were going to be on the program. I appreciate that. But you wrote, Francis is lost in Plato's cave. And I Googled it and I read it, and I think you might still just be a little smarter than me. What did you mean by that?
Well, actually, that's a lot of times what we do when we focus on performance metrics, which is actually at the core of the U.S. public participation playbook, is not just that we should, you know, engage with citizens, not just that we should have responsive programs, but what are the ways in which we can measure and report the success of these things? So what we always go to is the allegory of Plato's cave, where essentially it's the same thing when you think of like open data. It's not always that there's a lack of data, but are we asking the right questions of it? And so in Plato's cave, that's the allegory where people are looking at shadows in the wall. And so when we were going back and forth about that in this interview, we really wanted to get to the truth of it. And then Jason jumped in and said, can we handle the truth?
Right.
That's where Plato's cave came in, you know, truth, philosophy. And once again, because we're always coming at it from that performance analysis base point.
I think that lays out exactly the intellectual hierarchy here. You quoted a Plato reference. Jason made a reference from a Jack Nicholson movie, and I had no idea what was going on. Let's play off of that and have you just thumbnail what the public participation playbook is and who should use it.
All right. So when we first got contacted about the playbook, essentially, so the White House, what's called the White House National Action Plan on Open Government, where they make commitments to the community, both internally and to international partners, about what are steps that we're going to be taking, working with civil society groups, citizens, and government agencies in order to improve open government. And that can be, you know, more transparency, more responsiveness, engagement, number of things. If you have not checked out Open Government, definitely look it up. But one of the provisions where it said that we needed to create a resource that combined not only best practices, but also performance metrics on how to measure these things. And so when we talk about public participation, we're not just talking about social media, we're not just talking about websites themselves, but also we're talking about the regulatory process, town hall meetings. It's something that giving citizens a greater voice in governance is something that stretches both online and offline. And that's what this playbook seeks to do, is to not only show with best practices how it can be done better, but also provide the performance metrics for people to accurately and legitimately measure and report to ensure that these things are having an impact.
So this doesn't sound like the kind of thing that you create out of whole cloth at GSA. Who collaborated with you to bring this about, Chase?
Well, that's actually kind of the point on this is like, great, we could have put together four really smart policy people and had them, you know, over a week create this, and it would have cost a couple of pizzas to get it done. But what we really wanted to do, because a lot of times agencies can be trepidatious about opening that level of engagement, is we not only wanted to talk about public participation in the resource, we wanted to build it using public participation and basically the most ideal sense of that term, to show that not only were we advocating for these things, but we ourselves were able to create a better product and a better program using it. So what we had is we had 70 federal managers from about 40 government agencies in an unprecedented level of collaboration working together in a short order in order to find the scope. And we had everyone on board from a diplomat to a digital park ranger, which usually when we say digital park ranger, the first people say is, oh my goodness, there's digital park rangers now. And I promise you there are. And so like I said, we got a very diverse group of people together, but also we invited dialogue and brought into the process about a dozen civil society experts from organizations you might have heard of, like the Sunlight Foundation, the Open Government Partnership, the Open Gov Foundation. And then we had the outside experts. And then on top of that, in 1 month, we did three public comment periods. Once again, trying to have participation engagement engagement at the highest transparent level and actually show that we weren't doing it just because we're saying it's the right thing to do, but that we'd have a superior, better functioning resource for government by using these processes.
What kind of comments did you get from the public about this? I imagine some of them were along the lines of, yeah, right, you're really going to do this.
On both,
skepticism.
That both came from government and from outside. What we actually found is that there was two big trends over the course of this project. Is that one, of course, when you have federal managers from different agencies working together in an actual collaborative environment. And like I said, so we had everyone from the Smithsonian to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence working on this, is that federal managers were reluctant to go in and delete the words. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's really raw collaboration. People are more comfortable commenting on other people's stuff, but it's really was difficult at first getting people to really assert themselves and have that real collaborative perspective. Now, on the outside of it is at first when we put it to the public and we put it to civil society groups, they would like correct spelling errors or something like that. And the whole point was we had to tell them, listen, you might be accustomed to your participation being that government issues basically a final product and then you comment after the fact. And I said, we are not giving you a completed Rubik's Cube and then telling you to do more on it. We're bringing you into the process from the beginning. And it wasn't until towards the end someone would contact us and be like, listen, I wish it wasn't so late at the game, but I think we should restructure it that way. And we actually ended up restructuring it. So that was the kind of meat of it. And that's what we knew, is that eventually the content of the playbook was secondary to the process that created the playbook. And that's what we're seeing now is since its release is, so not only do we have agencies that are using it to evaluate their programs and build new programs, but also we've been contacted by nations around the world who are interested in either using the playbook for their own federal governments or to build some, you know what I mean, that'll be inherent to their particular nation. Also, we have an organization that is working on a state and local facing version. And like I said, so we've been pleased in that sense because while the content itself is imperfect, it's a living resource that will always need to improve and grow. It's that collaborative process that we put into it that has really, I think, become that change agent.
And that's where I wanted to go next. There's a difference between the release of something like this and the completion of something like this. My notes say that you're referring to this as a living document in open beta stage, and I imagine that means it's never really finished.
Exactly. And that's one of the public, because what we say with a lot of these engagements, whether any regulations or, you know, websites or town hall meetings, is you have to set correct expectations. But no matter how many times we kept saying is that, listen, this isn't like getting the last boat off the Titanic. You can keep, you know what I mean? This is an ongoing process. People were very much in tune to a thing where they felt if they didn't get everything in now, all of a sudden this would be done, released to the public, start collecting dust the next day. And so we really had to go that extra mile to emphasize and show that, no, this is something that is continuing. It's like right now we're preparing for a release of a new playbook that is already based on, so the day after it was released, people started sending in new content, new ideas. We had to put it on GitHub because people started contributing code to make the delivery of itself more accessible. So it's been a very exciting time.
So what do you do with this from now on? How do you update it? I mean, you talked about the fact that you're already formulating a new release, but what will that look like?
Yes. And so essentially what we're doing is, so we have the team, we have the working group of 70 federal employees, we have the relationships with the civil society organizations, like I said, from the Open Gov Foundation, Sunlight Foundation, our partnerships, our outside partnerships have been fantastic with this. And so what we're going to do is, as needed, continue to update. If there's not a lot going on, we can, you know, with intake, we can focus a little bit more on spreading it, you know what I mean, to other partners. But it's like right now, we have a lot we can work with. And we also want, I mean, the key to this is we wanted to be who we're advocating for. In the playbook, it says you must transparently report the performance. And so that's really what we're working on right now. It's not enough for us to put out a resource. We want to turn around and to be able to show people all the different ways in which it was used. For instance, one of the more visible things was it was the U.S. Public Participation Playbook process that we used in order to create the cyber vandalism toolkit that we got 17 federal managers to work with outside companies. And within 5 days after a recent cyber hacking, we were able to have a new government-wide resource. It's something around here we call rapid collaborative development, where it's not only having the collaboration, but doing so in a way that has firm performance metrics in place. And so you get that stronger product. Like we try to say with the social gov community is that what we're able to do with this collaborative base is if somebody needs something, A, within minutes, we're either able to put them in touch with the best resources and the best people across anywhere in government, or if that resource doesn't exist, we can raise up a group, a working group, that'll build a new resource that'll fit that need in short time.
Justin, final thought. What were the big obstacles that you had to overcome change management-wise to convince people that you were serious about collaboration and they were going to be involved from the very beginning and they were going to have some impact on the final product or the final what was released and what would stay in as this thing continues to live on?
We say this to this day, it is a challenge and it's an ongoing challenge because essentially we have to show people that, and we always talk about, you know, it's possible to have participation or engagement, and it really doesn't mean anything. We call it participatory theater. And so what we wanted to do with this is show people that, no, by being part of this, you do have a say. You're not only, we don't want you to just see the use of it, we want people to see themselves in. And if you go to participation.usa.gov and you scroll to the bottom, I'll take the Pepsi challenge against any other website. Have you show me more government logos and diversity of agencies there who decided to put their logos on and say, we are proud of this, we support this. And another thing, and these are people that still have as much as 20 years left in their federal career. And so that kind of statement to say that this is where we're moving and this is what we're dedicated to should be a clear sign to people about that level of commitment to modernization, innovation, and all the things, whether you see it through the new digital services organization spreading out around government, whether you see it in the commitment to open data spreading around, or in our little small part of the world, public participation.